Hey guys, welcome to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. You have two hosts here. My name is Kirk Smith, and this is
I'm Graham Kay. Yes.
These are two. We're two LA-based comics. We have autism in our life through our family. I have a severely autistic son who's 17, and Graham
has a 32-year-old brother with autism. He's younger than me. I know by my voice, you're probably like, you don't sound older than 32, but I am. Anyway, we decided to make this podcast, if you're new to it, because everything out there about autism is depressing, and it doesn't have to be. And yeah.
This is not science. This is just two guys talking about our personal experience and what's going on in the news and what's happened in our life, which is... What's going on in our life is our first segment that's called Week in Review.
Yeah.
Week in Review. So we just talk about what's going on. You want to go first? How's Pete doing?
Pete's doing great. He's really interesting that if he's so, like, I'm sure a lot of our listeners are experienced with their loved ones who have autism. They're very routine based, and if you want to change anything in their lives, you have to plant the seed that the change is going to happen weeks, months, days in advance. Even if you want to get off the phone with him a few minutes before you hang up, you have to say, I gotta get off the phone now, and then there's like two more minutes of conversation for him just to get ready to get off the phone. So say like, for example, it was Father's Day just passed, and my parents wanted to have a sort of Father's Day weekend at the cottage. People in Canada, a lot of us have cottages, or a lake house they call them in America. Anyway, so they wanted Peter to come up to the cottage, but Peter doesn't like going to the cottage. He likes to stay in the city in his routine, in his great apartment house, and he likes to go to his work and have a schedule and do laundry and then go to Walmart, and he has things that he does, and then you take that away from him, and you have to go to a new place with he doesn't have any friends or all, like,
yep.
And so
his coworkers,
or his routine, or the laundry machine, or the exercise machine in his apartment, or everything. Mm-hmm. So you, like, week in advance, my mom's like, so just so you know, and he's like, I don't know if I'm gonna do it. And then like a few days, then it's like, my mother has a strategy, and she's like, just don't close it down. You know, you don't have to say, you know, if she's talking to Peter, she doesn't go, oh well, you know, this is definite and you have to come.
Right.
She goes, okay, Pete, we will discuss this again in a few days. Just think about it.
Right.
Instead of going, oh, we're not, okay, you're not going to do it. It's just, so it leaves it open, and Peter's like, well, okay, but I don't have to. And then she comes back and keeps chipping away.
To be honest, this is how wives deal with their husbands in general.
Yeah.
I'm serious. They throw something out there and the guy's like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
Then she, you know, is amorous with him, and then they have another conversation. Okay.
I don't think my mom is being amorous with my brother at all.
Well, I was married 17 years, and there's a whole strategy there where think you said no three or four times.
She's talking about my brother, though, not my dad.
Not like that, but I'm just saying there's correlations between saying, okay, yeah, and you think you're getting your way and you're not getting your way.
Yeah. 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 So, it's just a general woman strategy.
Yeah, I think that's a...
Which is very bright and effective.
Yeah, you don't take men on. Mm-hmm. You kind of do a side thing where you're like, okay, we'll think about it.
But it more so with Peter. It definitely works with Peter. Maybe it's just, maybe it's not an autism thing at all. He just doesn't want to go to the cottage with his parents. Yeah. Maybe he's just a 32-year-old man who doesn't want to spend the weekend at the cottage with his
by himself,
65-year-old parents.
Chaperone to your parents.
Yeah. So he eventually goes to the cottage, and everything's fine. And he negotiates to come back early, though. But they had a nice, like, Father's Day dinner and stuff, and he had his steak.
It's great.
You can get Peter and men in general.
That's again, it's about
steak.
Yeah.
We'll give you free
steak.
We'll
have good food. And
okay.
I don't want to go have a dinner with your friends at your friend's house. Well, they're making salmon, and it's your favorite. And there's going to be dessert.
Yeah.
You know how you feel about, what is this, fudge cakes that they make? Whatever, I don't know. I'm 1,000 years old.
I was like, what'd you have for dinner? And he's like, and I already knew it was coming. He was like, well, I had a steak. They had ribs, but I wanted a steak, so I had a steak. It's like, uh-huh, mm-hmm. Caesar salad for sure.
Croutons with a little bit of lettuce on top.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but it's, so that was great. I mean, he had a good little week. And again, he's still worried about bullies in high school. And I explained to him just now that, and he was very happy to find out that bullies don't generally do well as an adult. And he's doing That's much true. Better than all of his tormentors were doing, than our tormentors are doing, in present day. I mean, he's got his own apartment and everything like that, and I'm sure they're either in jail or dead. So,
and he names them by name.
And he's like, really?
Name them a
child. Great! Makes him so happy. So anyway, that's going on with Pete. He's killing it. He's doing great.
That's great.
Yeah. So we go in.
My week, this is what's going on with JJ. He taking him for a walk. And he encountered a group of women jazzercising in the park. Because in Sweden in the summer, it's very... If it's 65 degrees, everybody's
advantage.
In t-shirts. Yeah,
it's like
outside.
Canada. Yeah. Yeah.
And so it's so they're doing outdoor jazzercise. So he planted himself on a bench not far away and he just wanted to watch.
Yeah.
Wanted to watch. So yeah. His mom had to explain.
And you know what? Those ladies are probably creeped out. And if they were told that this is an autistic boy, and they'd be like, great.
Yeah, she had to explain. She's like, yeah, he just likes the movement and then music. And to which I was like, sure, that's what he likes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's not what he likes.
So it's that like, was his. Yeah.
It's so funny how it's like you can make the boy autistic, but you can't take the man out of him.
Yeah,
he's
still a man.
My girlfriend always says like Peter is just. It's so funny to see how he's not affected by culture, but he is. You can just see how men are a certain way through Peter out of instinct. Yeah. Like Peter likes steak, he likes beers, and he likes boobs. He just loves them all.
What are you gonna have? Well, if you let me choose,
yeah,
steak.
Peter, like I've told this before on the podcast, but my girlfriend will be talking to Peter, and she notices that if she's got like a showing like a shoulder or something, his eyes just keep darting from her eyes to her shoulder back. Shoulder. Like he's like,
it's a lot going on here. It's a lot happening.
Oh, jeez. You know, it's nice. It's innocent. It's cute. And it's nice that he likes something. It brings him joy. You know, I mean,
women,
really,
I
if I could get away with it, if it was, I mean, I would sit at that park bench too and be like,
You just know. Have your popcorn, just eat your popcorn, just watching.
If I didn't feel guilty and weird.
And you were told you can't, sir, move along.
If it wasn't completely insulting to my girlfriend.
And probably illegal.
Yeah, and probably illegal.
So that's our weekend review.
Yeah, I felt pretty good about that.
Good.
Yeah. Bunch of creeps. We're all creeps is the moral of that story. In the news, we have a really interesting in the news. This one is one of my favorite ones in a long time.
This was on NPR, National Public Radio, which has a website. The title is "She Turned the Pyramids Blue and Got Egyptians to Talk About Autism," and it's a story about Ranwa Yahia.
You know what? That was actually probably way closer than if you had read a Scottish name.
Well, because they spell it's phonetic, right? When it's a foreign language and they have to translate to English, they have to write it phonetically.
Yeah.
Maybe.
If you wanna laugh, try and listen to Kirk read out loud like Brian McLaughlin. Brian McGoolahan.
Brain McGoolahan.
Anyway,
she talks about her experience with Nadim, who basically lost his speech.
That's her son, I'm assuming. Ooh, bless you. Bless you.
We can edit that out, but we probably won't.
No.
losing his speech, and then talks about her experience in Egypt. She lives in Egypt, and going to her pediatrician and talking to them about her son, and meeting with an educational psychologist named Dalia Solomon.
All in Egypt.
All in Egypt, yeah. And then, you know, she asks him some general questions, and then basically the long and short of it, the kid turns out to be autistic, and talks about kind of the ignorance basically there in Egypt, and how people aren't used to it, and they haven't heard the word autism. And he has a funny quote about people. I'm not sure exactly what there's. Maybe something was lost in translation, but the quote is, people thought it meant mental retardation, she said. And there was one person who thought it meant street child.
Which just a little.
Not sure exactly what that means.
You know what, though? I bet you a lot, and I know this happens, sadly enough, the less social welfare there is in a country, the more chance there are that people with a mental disability end up on the street.
That's true.
You know, I mean, I noticed a big change from Canada to America.
Well, even LA, a lot of the people, I was down in Skid Row 2 days ago, and it's clear a lot of those people have problems. It's not, they're not just, it's not just that they've had a string of bad luck. There's also some mental issues going on that they can't seem to get help
for. It's crazy. So. It's like, I sometimes I want to get like, your natural instinct is like, get a job, grouch, you know, but it's like,
that's not what's
happening.
That's
Peter. It's Peter with coming from not a fortunate place and parenthood. Like it just breaks my heart.
To me, that's one of the biggest eyesores about America. Listen, I grew up overseas, so I'm a huge fan. There's a reason that
I'm a fan of America too.
There's a reason millions of people try to come here illegally. It's a great place, but the one area that I feel like we really drop the ball is with mental illness issues, where we don't seem to take it seriously in the same way that if you say, I have cancer, people are like, well, get help. And if you have mental illness, then sometimes it seems like the attitude is, well, you need to tough it out. Stop being a baby.
Coming from Canada, I chose to live in America. I'm pro-American. I like America. But there's a reason why Donald Trump isn't talking about building a wall on the Canadian border.
Yeah.
It's because we're good. You know what I mean? We're okay. We don't... It's depressing to me to come here and see all these like mentally handicapped people on the streets. It blows my mind. It's not a good sign. Things will change. I have to believe the society is constantly evolving.
Well, to me, it's
America's very good at figuring stuff out quickly and changing their tact as a country. So,
you know what it reminds me of? To be honest, it reminds me of segregation or civil rights issues, where you look back and you're like, how is it possible that you saw a water fountain and it says colored people, not colored people? That's a thing? How is that possible in my parents' lifetime that you thought that was cool? Like, I look back and I go, how is it possible that you know these people have problems, you know it's mental, and they're on the streets in L.A., one of the most influential cities in the world. What happens to L.A. influences the rest of the world, whether it's in fashion or entertainment or whatever, and to just turn a blind eye to it and be like, that'll work out, and to not do anything. How's that possible?
Yeah.
To me, it's one of those issues. So we'll look back and go, that's crazy.
I think you're right.
Then we'll look back and go, anyway.
But what's positive about your outlook right there is that you believe that it will change, and it'll definitely change quickly. And I think you're right.
Yeah. 50 years, it'll be totally different.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
Well, look, they're talking about... It talks about what's in Egypt now.
Yeah.
The article talks about how a lot of people think that it's a curse. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's.
Let's look it up. Like,
Egypt is it's like Egypt. A place like Egypt is like America times 10 in terms of how there's a lot of really poor people in that country, but also it's advanced in a lot of ways too. There's not that much sort of middle. It's like really poor.
Well, to be honest, it's in my opinion, it's way behind, because simple fact is war. Whenever there's war,
it is definitely way behind America. Of course, that's what I'm saying. But I'm just saying that there is. I mean, they have like these programs. This woman took her children to, or like, you know, advanced pediatrics and stuff like that, but there's so many poor people that live in a completely different world, way more percentage-wise than America, of course, plus there's a civil war, everything's in shambles, but they... I'm just saying that there's going to be more people in Egypt who think it's going to be a curse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah, well... That's...
Although I'm sure there's people in the Bible Belt who are like, Satan's doing this to you.
But I have had people, you know, because I'm from a very religious background, that have said to me, basically, you know, the church isn't immune to this stuff, where people are uneducated and dumb and they say mean things. So they'll say, well, you just need to pray right. You need to have more faith.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah. Okay. That's what I'm saying.
Well, you know.
It's not that different. No. People thinking it's a curse is not that different than that mentality.
Right, it's just the next step.
No, you need to work harder and figure it out. God will help you if that's your belief. You know.
Well, I think God can do whatever he wants, but the fact that if you pray and he doesn't, that doesn't mean you're cursed. That's your life. Oh, whatever. Let's not talk about religion.
You and I should do like a religion podcast. It's like,
we should.
I'm an atheist and you're a religious person that doesn't drive me nuts. You don't, everything you say, I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, you are a very reasonable religious person.
We should do that.
Yeah.
All right, guys, tune in. We're going to start, it's going to be called The Idiot and the Atheist. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a new podcast. Keep an eye out for it. But what I was going to say was, and here's one of the things that, getting back to this article about Egypt, this is one of the things that changed people, that autism is a tough issue. In April, it changed because beloved leader, Vice Admiral Mohab Mamish, head of the Suez Canal Authority, stunned the public with a simple statement, his grandson has autism. And there's a growing understanding of the condition, mainly because of that. So, and then she goes on to light up the, you know, the light up the blue thing in April. So they lit up the pyramids blue. I saw that on Instagram.
Cool.
So I posted it, but it's really cool.
Good for her.
Yeah.
That's a powerful statement. That's the kind of thing that can switch public's perception really quickly.
Well, like, you know
what? What is it? Oh, this. You know what I mean?
Right. It's not a curse. This guy who we respect and love, just his grandson has it.
Yeah, and that's sort of a really cool example of how art can change.
Well, it makes me think of like it's never interesting to us until it's personal. And you know, my parents have a large school in South America of about, I don't know, I think it's 5,000 kids and a large church of maybe like 8,000. Anyhow, long story short, I was talking to my mom years ago, like 5 years ago, and asking what kind of, we were talking about the special ed program that they had at our church, and asking her, what kind of program do you have? And she's like, oh, we don't have anything. And then I was like, well, you have 8,000 people. Statistically, you have to have a couple hundred people that have autism in their life. It's just...
Right.
But she, and then she, like, you see the wheels turning. It's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
But you don't even think about it until it gets personal. And so now they've got a whole program where it's like, if you want to, you know, it's
shadowing. That's the topic du jour, by the way, when it's personal.
When it's personal.
Yeah. So it changes for you and
stuff
like that. And so
then they announced from the pulpit or whatever that we're going to do this special ed program. And if you know somebody that'd be interested in blah, blah, blah. And then people come out of the woodwork to volunteer.
Right.
They go, oh, I'd be interested in doing that. People that you wouldn't think. Here's the thing, too. You always assume, like, I have no interest in working with, to be perfectly honest, that's not my calling in life.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's hard for me to understand that some people really, really dig it. And I'm really appreciative of those people and respectful and it's to give people the opportunity to.
Well, you know what, though? They have more energy than you do because they're not dealing with it on a day-to-day basis. So
no, they're good people, too.
And they're good people. Well, of course they're good people. But I'm just saying, it's like you might volunteer if you didn't have an autistic son.
Maybe. To be honest, I had never even heard of autism until.
Really?
No. No, I mean,
I guess, you know what, I don't think my parents had either.
I'd seen Rain Man, but I don't know if I'd even made the connection.
Yeah. I don't think I had heard about it either until, like, some pediatrician gave us, like, a VHS tape where the guy from MASH was hosting it because he has an autistic kid. And we watched it, and you know, the spectrum's so wide. We're like,
that doesn't seem right.
What is this? Anyway, but turns out they were right. It's just the VHS tape was like dealt with very specific. But anyway, the point is what I think is interesting is that this the, the you, your church had 10,000 people, and then you figured out that statistically speaking, there's got to be like 500 people dealing with this on some level with autism. And then you talked to your mom, and now turns out there was autistic people in the church. Yeah. Like, did it turn out?
Yeah, they still have a program. Yeah, there's, you know, there's dozens of people that are going through this program.
Dozens of, like, autistic children?
Yeah, and like, some, like, for my son, it's especially as he gets older, it's not a real, you know, to drag him there. And if he, so, because my mom was like, I remember her saying, you know, a lot of these people ride a bus or two buses to go to church, you know, drag a kid on a thing. But I'm like, open up. I think you'll be surprised at,
right,
you know, what people want to do, what people are willing to do. And you know, it's, you don't have to do it yourself. You just help run it. You give people the opportunity to serve. And
right. This is in Ecuador as well?
In Ecuador, Guayaquil, yeah, the largest city.
Yeah, so that's a lot of, I mean, that probably helps more in Ecuador than anywhere else.
Well, it's similar to Egypt, I'm sure, as far as the infrastructure.
Yeah, totally.
You know, and the priorities. Listen, if you're having a hard time just educating your cognitively, you know, neurotypical kids, then the programs for autistic kids are like on the way back.
Right, yeah.
You know, if you're just having a hard time just schooling regular kids, there's not enough schools for regular kids. Then.
It's also interesting that, so these are probably a lot of people, you know, by proxy have initiated people talking about autism in their families. And they probably weren't even sure if their kid was autistic or didn't know where to go, because there wasn't a lot of talk about it. There's probably a bunch of kids, a bunch of people that are still in that church that have somebody with autism, and now they're probably thinking about it that didn't even know.
Right.
And
the same kind of thing when the leadership goes, same kind of thing with my dad.
It's okay. Takes away the stigma.
Right. Because especially in cultures like that, there is a stigma that it's like a curse or God's not blessing you or. Mm-hmm. So if the pastor says, my dad says, oh, I have a grandson with autism, people are less prone to say, oh, where's your faith? Why don't you pray it away?
Yeah.
You know, versus if it's just me.
That's great. That's so great. And also what's interesting about it, the Egypt case and your case in Ecuador, is that it sort of dispels the popular notion, maybe it's becoming less popular, that it's sort of a white problem.
Yeah, that's such a crazy thing to me.
Yeah.
Remember people talk about like whether asthma or mental issues or
peanut allergies or
peanut allergies. That makes absolutely no sense. First of all, race is like in my opinion, it's a modern construct that rich people do to divide poor people amongst themselves and to talk about, oh, you're a different kind of white person.
And athletic people from unathletic people.
Yeah, or whatever.
I'm kidding.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. But yeah, it's so crazy to think that some people think, you know, so Egypt's obviously Africa. So those are African people. Mm-hmm. So they think, oh, there's no, that doesn't make any sense. Of course there's, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, that's a crazy, crazy issue. We should talk about that again. I know we had an episode like 5 episodes ago, but yeah, we'll bring that back around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really seems to light a fire under you. That's our topic du jour. Quickly before we end, I know you guys are been waiting for a few episodes for a car update.
Oh yeah,
and I know that I have a new car, and it's going great. I got some rich kid. Just gave me a deal, like he wanted to unload it. Kirk came to buy it with me, and I basically feel like someone. Kirk taught me the art of the lowball. And boy, do we lowball him! Like it's one third cheaper than the initial asking price, like a full one third cheaper.
You're out there, you just throw it out there as nicely and respectfully as you can, and.
He had already lowered the price before I went out there. Because it's a stick shift. No one wants a stick shift in LA, I guess. And
it's a great car.
Yeah, I got a nice Volvo. It's got a leather interior.
Ooh.
Very hot in the summer. I burnt my legs this morning.
The air works. How's air?
The air is okay. The air is good enough.
Needs a little charge.
Yeah, but it's great. It's a great car. I really feel like when I tell people how much I got for it, they're like, what? I really feel like someone just gave me a car.
It was a good deal. I told you that price is a great deal.
Oh, man. It runs great. It runs way better than my old car. It looks great.
You get that sitcom, you give it to charity, you buy something brand new.
Yeah. If I get that sitcom, I'm going to tint the windows. You better believe it.
I'm getting rims. I'm getting spinners.
Yeah. So things are good. I have enough. I have a big trunk for your luggage at the airport, everybody. Yeah. So that's good. Things are good.
Oh, my brother flew in. He's doing a theology degree or whatever from Ecuador. He flew in to Ontario Airport, which is like 60 miles from here. And he was like, I was going to subscribe to Patreon and have Graham come get me, but I felt too guilty. I'm like, you should have. You didn't feel guilty to ask me. I drove an hour and a half each way to come get you.
Well, yeah, at least pay us for it.
Oh, brother. Yeah. You should have had Graham do it. That's a plug for our Patreon. If you subscribe, yes, Graham will pick you up from the airport when you come to see the stars.
After a few months, yeah.
Here in L.A.
Yeah, and I think it's the $5 an episode package.
How's it going with those packages we've promised 3 weeks ago?
Well, it's coming. It is coming. It is. I swear. Also, you can donate $1 per episode. Just $1 a week, guys. Less than a cup of coffee a week. You can help keep us doing this.
We really appreciate it.
Yeah. And again, if we haven't already said, patreon.com/autastic, patreon.com/autastic. You can go to that website. Very easy, very simple to navigate and donate. It sets up sort of a weekly $1 draw from your bank account, which would really help us. But yeah, anyway, my name is Graham K. I'm at Graham K Comedy on Instagram and Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook, Graham K. And also, that's Kirk Smith over there.
Same thing, Kirk Smith Comedy, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Guys, please take a second to review us in iTunes if you haven't already. Just takes a second. 5 stars, please. And
yeah. We've always been very unspecific about the amount of stars we like, but we prefer 5 over 1. It helps. What that does is in the sort of iTunes algorithm, the higher ratings that we get, it sort of pushes, it promotes the podcast on the iTunes homepage, and then more people can find it. And yeah.
So. And also, if you have a second, if you could please send this to people in your lives you think might be interested, other parents.
Yeah, the old-fashioned way is the best.
Yeah, or just send them a quick link to teachers, and we've got a group of teachers that listen to it together up in the Northeast, up in
Vermont.
Vermont, I think, yeah. And we love you guys. It's going to work out.
It is going to work out, I promise. Thanks. Bye.